RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcast. Broadcast radio is the most popular source of in-car entertainment, with 70% of the content listened to in cars being radio. But the car industry is slowly moving towards radio-less cars. New electric vehicles manufactured by BMW, Bosch, Audi, Volvo, and Tesla all have dropped AM radio. In the face of this, UNESCO and broadcast organizations recently issued a joint statement asking the car industry to not ask radio receivers in their newer models.
A worldwide call to keep radio in cars, because the intention is to remove AM radio and instead to have information through Wi-Fi or through internet.
On today's broadcast, we have help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado. Before we get into all of that, we bring you the news.
Queda aprobada la proposición de ley orgánica para la normalización institucional, política y social en Cataluña.
With 178 votes, the amnesty law was finally approved in Congress on Thursday. The opposition People's Party, far-right party Vox, the Navarrese People's Union and Canarian Coalition voted against the controversial law. Alberto Núñez Feijóo, leader of the People's Party.
Esta ley se va a aprobar porque es la única forma que tuvo el señor Sánchez de ser presidente del gobierno.
This law will be approved because it is the only way Mr. Pedro Sánchez could become Prime Minister, and it will be approved because it's the only way he can continue being Prime Minister for a little longer. There's nothing more to it, that's why you have accepted everything. The amnesty law, which would grant amnesty to jailed and prosecuted Catalan separatists who participated in the failed Catalan independence bid back in 2017, will now reach the Senate for their approval. The People's Party's majority in Senate will not make it easy. They have already announced they will put it on hold for the maximum time the regulation establishes, which is 2 months. In other political news, Pere Aragonès, regional minister of Catalonia, called for new elections on the 12th of May. This decision was made after the failure to approve the 2024 Catalan budget.
El proper 12 de maig, la ciutadania de Catalunya triarà entre la responsabilitat o la irresponsabilitat.
On the 12th of May, the citizens of Catalonia will choose between responsibility or irresponsibility, he said, and added that they will also have to choose between those who defend a past model and those who defend Catalonia. The approval of the amnesty law opened a door for former Catalan regional minister, exiled Carles Puigdemont, to run in the new elections as leader of separatist party Junts. So far, he has said he will think about it and will announce his decision next week. Mr. Puigdemont is also the candidate for the European elections on the 9th of June, so he will have to choose between the two. The call for Catalan elections already had consequences in the central government. The Spanish government will not be updating the state budget for 2024. Instead, the 2023 budget will be extended. This decision has provoked harsh reactions from the government's coalition parties. Yolanda Díaz, second deputy prime minister and leader of leftist party Sumar.
Nuestros equipos de Sumar y del Partido Socialista estaban reunidos negociando.
Cuando Moncloa
Our teams decidió... from Sumar and the Socialist Party were negotiating when Moncloa decided not to continue with the state budget. We respect the decision from the Prime Minister, but we don't share it. Despite the reactions from their partners, the Socialist Party assures the coalition government is not in danger. María Jesús Montero, First Deputy Prime Minister.
Creo que la legislatura, igual que la pasada, tiene una estabilidad que se viene provocada.
I think that this legislature, the same as the last one, has a stability caused by dialogue between the Socialist group and the government parties. New information is coming out about the corruption case involving Madrid's regional minister Isabel Díaz Ayuso's partner. The opposition asked her to clarify if she knew about his partner's business and called for her resignation.
Lo que tiene que hacer es dimitir.
Por eso tiene que dimitir, señora Ayuso.
Dimita de una vez.
The Public Prosecutor's Office is investigating Alberto González Amador for alleged tax fraud and counterfeit. The prosecutor's office revealed Mr. González tried to reach an agreement to avoid a trial and admitted to committing two tax fraud crimes. Mrs. Ayuso defends her partners and diverts the attention to the Koldo case involving former Socialist Minister of Transport José Luis Ábalos. And on Friday morning, the new index to limit rent prices was published. This measure aims to limit rent prices for 3 years to those who own five or more flats in zones declared as tens and will only be applied for new contracts. So far, this declaration only affects 140 municipalities in the region of Catalonia. To apply this criteria, the regions need to ask for the declaration as tense zones. The opposition People's Party has announced the regional governments will not be applying this index as they believe it could lead to more instability in the market. Sergio Nazarre, professor of civil law and director of the UNESCO Housing Chair at the University Rovira I Virgili, said that the new regulation will have an immediate reduction effect on prices, but could have long-term negative effects.
Una reducción de la movilidad laboral, un aumento de las compraventas en lugar de los alquileres, una reducción de la...
A reduction of work mobility, an increase of buying and selling instead of renting, a reduction in the construction of flats, and an increase of rent prices in other municipalities where rent isn't controlled. He added that the solutions should be structural, offering more job opportunities in smaller cities and considering other ways of housing, like shared or temporal ownership.
Do you listen to the radio? Now, we are a shortwave broadcast and our signal requires a whole kit to be picked up. The days of shortwave receivers in cars, for example, are long gone, but apparently the end of AM and FM radio in cars may be imminent. The car industry is moving towards radio-less cars, mostly the electric models. New electric vehicles manufactured by BMW, Porsche, Audi and Volvo, as well as the Ford F-150 Lightning truck, the Volkswagen SUV and the Tesla Model S, have all dropped AM radio. Today, broadcast radio continues to be the most popular source of in-car entertainment, with 70% of the content listened to in cars being radio. Mirta Lorenko of UNESCO.
It is estimated that more or less 73% of radio listening happens in cars. And just thinking of cities where you have lots of traffic jams, mm-hmm. let's say Mexico, Paris, Bangkok, New York, Madrid, so many cities that people spend minimum 2 hours a day in the car. Sometimes two hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening to come home. And what do people do in the car? They listen to radio.
Ms. Lourenco of UNESCO was telling us about how UNESCO and broadcast organizations issued a joint statement asking the car industry to not axe radio receivers in their newer models.
Yes, it concerns more specifically AM radio, and it's a message signed by many broadcasting organizations, including the Academia Española de la Radio, but also the European Broadcasting Union, the Asian Pacific Broadcasting Union, the Caribbean Broadcasting Union, the Association of European Radios, which are private radios, the ones in Latin America. I mean, it's a worldwide call to keep radio in cars, because the intention is to remove AM radio and instead to have information through Wi-Fi or through internet.
COPE AM is a non-profit UNESCO media communications association that joined this statement for the preservation of radio in cars. General Secretary Claudio Capon on why they joined.
Well, because we think that radio is important, and because, as we know, most of the audience of radio in many countries consists of moving audience, that is, people who drive cars or commercial vehicle. So the reason is its role of it in immediate source of information. And I think that we think that hindering such possibility, as would be the case with the new all digital cars, could have serious consequences on the possibility of spreading vital emergency information. But I would add that it also risks to undermine its role of community service in many areas, and does enhance this process of creating dangerous bubbles of insulated information that we're seeing growing with the internet services and more individual consumption of information.
UNESCO agree that safety is a vital concern, but Ms. Lourenco added another reason.
But it's more importantly for UNESCO a matter of rights to freedom of expression and access to information, because it would impose on people relying only on online platforms as information sources. So they will not be able to, in a way, choose the source for news. And all the signatories of this message believe that people should be able to choose by themselves where to get information from. If they wish, they can get from the five big technological companies, digital platforms, I mean. But if they wish, they could also get information from public service media. So it should not be imposed on them. UNESCO strives to preserve information as a public good, and to be a public good, it must remain available in diverse forms, in all aspects of our life, and chosen by citizens.
My name is Thomas Granryd. I work at Swedish Radio as head of digital partnerships, but I'm also coordinating an initiative from the EBU around the connected cars, and we call this initiative the Playbook.
So could you explain for our listeners why exactly you've had to create this initiative?
Well, we think that a lot of radio companies have their own discussions with the car industry, and it's very valuable, and sometimes it gives great result, but we think that we are more in favor of having one voice towards the car industry, because I think that practically all broadcasters do share the same idea of what should be happening in the connected car environment when it comes to radio and audio. So it's much more effective to have one joint voice that all radio companies can use when they communicate with the car industry. Like one clear message, what is important for us?
Mm-hmm. And why is it important that you have this voice, this connectivity between the radio broadcasters and the car industry?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. But I think that what we see is that radio and the audio that the broadcasters in Europe do is the absolutely most used type of content in the car. There is almost like 70% of everything that is listened to in listening time is radio. And of course, a lot of broadcasters do great podcasts that is well loved. But even though we are so used in the car, there is actually not that much communication between the car industry and the broadcasters. It used to be kind of okay before, like 30, 40 years ago, because the radio had such a prominent position in the car. There was no discussion about removing the radio. But when the car gets connected, there are a lot of other kind of possibilities, and you have music streaming services and a lot of other players in the car. And sometimes we feel that the car industry kind of gets, they feel that perhaps they could remove the radio because you can solve everything with IP. And we don't think that that is a good idea, because broadcast radio is extremely robust and reliable in times of crisis. But as well, it's super easy. It's like the most easy way to consume content in the car. It's just a push of a button and it works. So we feel that it's important to have a discussion to kind of preserve broadcast radio, but as well, we understand that IP stuff like apps or streaming services radio apps in the future will probably be very important as well. And it will probably in perhaps 20 or 30 or 40 years be the way that you're listening to audio in the cars. So we kind of, with this initiative, also want to make it easier for the transition from broadcast to IP in a good way.
Before, you mentioned that about 70% of the content listened to in cars is radio. I was wondering if you had the demographic of people who listen to radio in cars the most.
Yeah, it is, of course, a bit towards the elderly, but it's also, weirdly enough, very much younger people, very much all ages. I would say that people around, let's say 20 to 30, the place where they kind of come in contact with radio is in the car. So for the radio industry, the car is such a vital place to kind of get those younger listeners to kind of get to know radio, get to know the offering.
Now, what exactly are you proposing with this playbook, or how exactly do you propose preserving radio in cars?
Yeah, it's like three steps. It's first of all to kind of make the broadcast environment, FM or DAB, prominent, continued super easy to use, and to show the correct like station logos and all that. So that's like one third of the playbook. The second third of the playbook is voice, because we think that voice control will be very dominant in the car in a couple of years, where you actually will choose via voice your radio station or your podcast or your song or whatever. So we are, with this playbook, kind of drawing up a map of how we want voice to work in a connected car. Mm-hmm. For instance, when you ask for a radio channel, we want broadcast to start, not a streaming service that is providing linear radio channels. We want broadcast to start. But when you ask for a podcast, we want our apps to start playing that podcast, not third-party players that has podcasts. We want our apps to start.
When you say our apps, do you... Yes, pardon. When you say our apps, I assume you mean public services, public radio.
No? Radio apps.
Yes, but okay, radio apps.
So this is actually, the playbook is not about public service at all. It's radio. So if it's a commercial radio company or network that has their own app, it should be their app starting. Not an Apple app or a Spotify app or a YouTube Music app. It should be their app because they are better at serving their audiences.
Okay.
And the third part of this playbook is about IP and our apps. And what we kind of aim for there is a threefolded prominence idea. We need prominence in that space. So we say that we should be equally prominent as the most prominent service on the car. So let's say, for instance, that Spotify would be pre-installed in a car. Well, then we think that the broadcaster's app should also be pre-installed. Or if they're on a recommended list, we should be on recommended lists as well. So kind of push for the broadcast experience and their app.
Mm-hmm. My question here is, the thing with Spotify is that it sort of brings together a lot of things in a single app. But if each broadcaster has their own app, it could become a bit dizzying, perhaps.
Yeah, but in general, you kind of are in a region when you have a car and you have perhaps three different providers of apps. So it's if you would go generally having this car in all countries in Europe, then it would be probably quite easy. But in general, you have your car in one country, and that region is kind of where you are consuming audio. So I don't think that is... I can understand the question, but it's probably not a practical problem.
Thomas Granryd, thank you so much for talking with the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio.
Great. And by the way, the Spanish national broadcasters are part of the playbook.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thomas Granryd's playbook details the broadcasters' plans for radios in cars, but Mirta Lorenco of UNESCO also had to say that this is something in the hands of the people.
Before buying a car, they have to think of all these aspects, because it's only the consumers that will be able to put pressure.
She also highlighted that it's not that they're all against internet radio or podcasting or anything of the sort. What's important is the choice.
The lack of choice, and that we, as of today, for emergencies, there is nothing else than broadcasting that works. And it's good to have a rich information environment where we have terrestrial broadcasting, satellite broadcasting, and broadband all together. It's not one or the other, you know? We want it all. We want it now.
You are listening to Radio Exterior de España.
This weekend, the Irish community everywhere will be celebrating their national day, St. Patrick's Day, and of course, Spain is no different. Almost 20,000 Irish people live in Spain, and celebrations for St. Patrick's Day take place in cities like Barcelona, Zaragoza, A Coruña, Benidorm, or Madrid. In the capital, the second edition of the Irish Week began on Monday with a surprise concert in the Madrid Metro. Bagpiper Carlos Núñez surprised travelers with a performance in the Plaza de España station.
Oh, oh, oh.
Frank Smith, Irish ambassador in Spain, was present in this opening act and spoke about the importance of St. Patrick's Day to celebrate Irish culture all over the world.
El hecho de que haya de 70 millones de personas con raíces irlandeses por todo el mundo.
The fact that there are 70 million people with Irish roots all over the world makes every 17th of March a beautiful excuse to celebrate the culture of our island. To learn about the origins of St. Patrick's Day, we have to go back to the year 461, when St. Patrick died on the 17th of March. That is precisely the reason why the festivity is celebrated on this date. He is thought to be the first bishop of Armagh and primate of Ireland, and he is currently its patron saint. Although he is an icon of Ireland, his origins are not very clear. He is thought to have been born in England and later kidnapped and brought to Ireland at the age of 16. He remained enslaved for 6 years, while in captivity he strengthened his spirituality and eventually converted to Christianity. After escaping, he went back to England, where he continued his religious studies and was ordained as a priest. Due to a vision that he had, he decided to return to Ireland, where he became a Christian missionary. For those who celebrate its original meaning more religious than today, St. Patrick's Day is a day for spiritual rebirth. However, today it has become a day to celebrate Irish culture with festivals, parades, sports events. Here in Madrid, the festivities will continue during the weekend with music, dancing, tastings, and a parade that will take place on Saturday in Madrid's central street, Gran Vía. The links between Spain and Ireland are numerous. For example, St. Patrick's Day is also a festivity in the city of Murcia. This is because more than 500 years ago, during the Reconquest, the Christians advancing in Murcia defeated the Muslims on the 17th of March. Christian King John II of Castile gave the status of a holiday to that day, naming it St. Patrick's Day in honor of the date of the Irish saint's death. And then there's also a link in music. Celtic music is a group of music genres that evolved out of the folk music traditions of the Celtic people of northwestern Europe. Today, the term Celtic music is linked with traditional Irish music, and the sounds, harmonies, melodies share some similarities with music in Spain, in particular in the north of the country. Most of Celtic music in Spain comes from Galicia or Asturias, as it is part of their folklore. However, many groups have experimented with Celtic sounds, for example Trinquel, Celtas Cortos or El Sueño de Morfeo. But the group that has probably been the most successful in mixing metal with Celtic sounds are Mago de Oz. This song is called Fiesta Pagana, Pagan Fest, and is included in their fourth album Finisterra, released in the year 2000, and it is also the song we say goodbye with. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio. I've been Marilyn Quintana, and today I've had help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado. We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.
calle y sientas que no puedes más, que en el nombre del de arriba tu vida van a manejar. Si sientes que el miedo se pega a tu piel por ser como una injusticia querer, si te rindes hermano porque nunca pensarás. Cuando vayan a pedirte los diezmos a fin de mes y la Santa Inquisición te invite a confesar, por eso digo tu alta la voz, di que nunca pediste opinión. Si es verdad que existe un Dios que trabaje de sol a sol, ponte en pie, alza el puño y ven a la fiesta pagana en la vera y de beber. De la misma condición no es el pueblo ni un señor, ellos tienen el clero y nosotros nuestro sudor. Para los tuyos, si ves muy gordo al abad, si su virgen viste de oro, desnudará.